Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Steph and Darren.
Good morning, everyone.
It's Friday and it's not snowing.
No, it's not snowing, but we got a pretty dangerous situation outside of our house right now.
Yeah, Darren informed me that because we haven't bought salt that is okay for dogs, he hasn't
put salt out on our walkway.
Right. So
it's like an ice skating rink out
right,
there.
Right. I think that's why the mailman has refused to come to our house twice this week. And great. I'm waiting on checks, so that's not good.
We're probably on a do not visit list over at the post office.
Yeah, between the icicles hanging from the roof and about to like take down our cable wires. If we lose cable, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm purposely not having that thing taken down just so we can have the possibility of not having cable. See how you react.
I'll be apoplectic if I lose my cable.
Yesterday I took a shovel and just went along our house knocking down any icicles. But there is one icicle hanging from our cable wire. It was attached to the house. And it also affixed itself to the wire, and somehow now it became detached in the house. So now I just have this big block of ice dangling from a wire that's probably 4 or 5 feet long. I don't even know how much the thing weighs, but nobody should go near it. I didn't want to try knocking it down because I was afraid I would take the wire down with it. So just leaving it be, and hopefully nothing happens.
Well, I have to tell you something, and our friend Alan actually gave me some great preventative maintenance advice yesterday that I know that you probably won't take, but maybe we might want to try.
Well, it might be too late.
You can't do it now.
Let me explain
what he does, which is brilliant, but it's, you know, of course, we would never do it because we are not handy at all. He said that at Home Depot, he bought this, like, electric coil that you put either on top of your roof or inside your gutters, preferably inside your gutters. And then you connect it to an outlet inside your home, so he does it through the attic, so that when it snows and starts to freeze, he turns the switch on and it melts the snow in the gutter. The man is a genius.
Alan is a brilliant homeowner.
Although he did say to me this year, he said he had been cleaning the roof, I guess in the fall or something, or he did something and he had taken the coils out of the gutter. And he didn't have a chance to put it back. So he's kind of struggling.
And he found little animals in there too?
No. He put the coils on the roof, but now the snow is covering that, so it's not really doing what it's supposed to be doing. So he, in a fit of a little bit of laziness, he didn't put it back, and now it's not working the way it normally works. But if you go to his driveway, you wouldn't even think it snowed. You'd go to our driveway and you think you're in Nome, Alaska.
You were just in a war zone.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Alan, by the way, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Have you ever looked at his lawn?
He's
got the perfect lawn. Perfect grass. Everything is perfectly manicured. It's beautifully.
When they put out a poster of who should be a homeowner, he's there. He's
our
the
friend
poster child.
My good friend Alan is the guy who was the quintessential homeowner.
Who should be apartment dweller? You and I.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where we're headed. We're heading back to apartment.
And it's funny,
dwellers.
our dog loves going by Alan's
house.
They have a nice big backyard. It's all fenced in. It's gorgeous. And like, it's funny, every time Santana comes with me in the car, knows like we're going to pick up our son, goes over there. She gets so excited because she thinks she's going over to their house for like a little play date.
Yeah, rendezvous with their cat.
Kit Kat. Wow, he's adorable.
It's an
outdoor cat that's slowly been coming inside their house. It's like a rescue cat that was rescued from the area.
But they have like an igloo for it. Like
they
it
do.
Stays outside.
He put that thing together for her. I'm telling you.
Was it heated with coils and everything?
It might as well should be. He is so handy. Like I'm very jealous of him. I don't tell him that, like how jealous I am, but I am jealous.
Well,
Alan, if you're listening, I am jealous.
Well, okay. And I have to say, like when I was really excited yesterday. I mean, I know stupid things make me happy, but we got more supplies for the bar mitzvah, and I got the stuff for the centerpieces, and I found it online, and it was my master plan was to copy some of these centerpieces that I've seen from these really expensive places. And so the centerpieces came in, and they were all like, they were columns, and they were styrofoam, and I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to put this together. I went downstairs, and I realized that it was super simple. Like, there was actually a hole cut out to put the cylinders, and I figured it all out. And what I appreciate is that Alan, like, I told him the whole story, and he, like, totally listens. He's a guy who listens. And he's like, and he's into this stuff.
I think Alan, in case you do listen, I think Beth was trying to say, I'm not sure, I think she was thinking that you're a guy maybe trapped in you're a woman trapped in a guy's body. I think that's what she was trying to get at.
No, I think...
I wasn't saying, I think that's what she was
saying. I just like the fact that he actually, like, appreciates
stuff. He actually does. Alan, all kidding aside, Alan's he's a very good listener. He hears you saying, he understands, he's present in the moment. That's why he's a good friend.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So I was like, I was so excited, and I had to tell him, and he was, you know, I know that I would normally tell, like, either my mom or a girlfriend, and, you know, and I got in the car now, and I'm like, what the
I'm sure he's going to really appreciate that.
Well, I have to say.
I also coach with Alan, so I try to balance each other out, you know, these gender qualities.
Well, I have to say, one of the moms yesterday said, I think you were a calming influence on your husband today because he was much more calm when you guys lost the basketball game last night.
Oh, one of the parents said that?
Yes.
Well, see, Beth had an opportunity to drive to the basketball game yesterday with Alan because I had a camp fair that I had to go to. So Beth had a chance to share everything that was going on with Alan, who's much better at giving Beth advice and tips on what to do than I am or ever will be. But we ended up getting to the game. I had to meet Beth and the rest of the gang over the basketball game yesterday. And we played. The usual outcome occurred. We lost. I think our record now is 2-7. It's pretty abysmal. But we played a very good game yesterday, and we played against a team that had some decent players, but had one player yesterday that was not good, but exceptional. And that player was a girl. There are girl players in the league, and some of the girl players, not some, there's a lot of them that are great ball players. So that doesn't surprise me at all. What did surprise me, and I don't know if it's true or not, and I'm looking into it, is whether or not this particular player who was exceptional was actually a varsity high school player. And one of those things that I have no proof.
It's like Pitch Perfect. You know, when they lose and the kid says, kid's an honor student.
That's exactly what it was. Exactly. It was like that. We were in this game. It was pretty close, but there was one player who, was dominating on the court.
She was shooting,
dribbling, rebounding, awesome. Blocking shots. I mean, everything about this girl's game was flawless. And the nature of this league is that it's supposed to be really more of a rec league, more for kids that don't have the opportunity to play on a varsity school team. So one of the league rules is that you cannot have players on your roster that play for a varsity school, that play on varsity. I mean, it couldn't be spelled out any clearer. It was brought to my attention yesterday, both during and after the game, that this girl who was dominating, that she is a varsity player. I don't have proof. I don't know if it's true, but I did send an email to the league commissioner this morning to look into it because, to be honest, if she were not in the game, I mean, she was the real difference maker between us winning and losing yesterday. Not that we're that good of a team, but I can tell when our team played well enough to win. We certainly played well enough to win.
Well, the other players really weren't as strong.
No.
They were just all super tall. There was it was a very tall team.
It was a tall, yeah, but the height didn't even bother. There was one particular kid who was very tall, but other than that, our kids matched up very well with them.
What does CSI stand for? Crime Scene Investigation.
I don't know.
I could see on their shirt said CSI, and I'm like, what's the Crime Scene Investigation?
Beth always brings everything back to a television show. I'm trying to keep this basketball focus right now. I'm sorry.
Well, whatever.
I sent an email this morning. I hate doing that because it makes you feel like a sore loser. But at the same time, I kind of felt like I owed it to the team that we're in a situation right now where we were 2-6. We need at least 3 wins to make the playoffs. That game yesterday could have been our third win, And if we lost that game because of somebody being on their roster who was so, you know, was such a huge difference maker, I felt like I owed it to the team to at least bring it up with the commissioner to see if she was an eligible player. If she is, great. And if not, then, you know what? We should get that win number 3. I don't like winning that way, but tough times call for tough measures.
All right, we'll see. We'll see if that girl is on a varsity team or she's keeping a low profile.
Stay tuned.
Exactly.
Stay tuned. I don't know if you saw it. I guess you already saw it, but you told me you did, but Radio Shack declared bankruptcy.
Yeah. When was the last time we bought anything from Radio Shack?
I used to go to Radio Shack all the time.
Batteries? Like for what? Oh, old-fashioned I think I bought a camera there a couple of years ago.
If I said it was Benetton, you'd be like, oh, my God.
Benetton, I think, has been out of business. What are you talking about?
Okay. Well,
I haven't seen Benetton in years.
So who do you think is the next one, next big
name? Well, Office Depot. Staples just bought Office Depot. Major merger there.
I went yesterday to Staples to pick up some copies for the Camp Expo that I had yesterday. So I had 50 copies, 4 different flyers. And the wait just to pick up copies that was paid for was interminable. I don't know what was going on there.
Was there a rush on Staples?
There was a bunch of people there. There was just a few. They were helping some customers, and something that literally should have taken me 30 seconds, if that, to go in to say, pick up under Feldman, I ended up, no exaggeration, waiting for about 25, 30 minutes. Now, I will say that the woman behind the counter was very nice. She was very apologetic. She couldn't find our order. So to make up for the wait, instead of giving me black and white copies, she made she printed out a whole new thing of color copies.
That's weird. I mean, it said it was ready.
She couldn't find the copies. That was part of the delay. So to compensate me for my time, she made color copies, which may not sound like a lot, but the difference.
No, it's a huge difference.
It's huge. It's huge. So I was very appreciative of it. And, you know, it's the type of thing there, like turning a bad experience into a very positive one. I left Staples feeling like, you know what, yeah, I waited. No big deal. It was fine. They were super nice as opposed to, God, I can't believe how long I waited. These people are a bunch of, you know what, and walking away with an angry feeling. This woman, again, handled it extremely well. She apologized for the delay. Said, I hope this makes up for your lost time. She couldn't be nicer. And then all I kept thinking was, I hope when the two companies merge, Staples and Office Depot, she will come out on the other side.
Well, Staples is buying it. Office Depot is not.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, the interesting thing is that we always can say, like, I always felt Office Depot is more the service-friendly one and Staples is not as great on the service.
I
think it's Office Depot and then Lowe's versus Home Depot.
Beth always has these analogies, these couples or these big mega stores.
Lowe's is to Home Depot as Office Depot is to Staples.
And then you have like Walmart and Target, like, right?
Right.
Target is a bit more, is the friendlier of the two. Right.
Target is just the classier of the two. If you're gonna call it classy, I don't know if it's classy either, but it's a little bit better.
So who are the other big mega stores that we always? Depot and Lowe's. You say Office Depot.
Staples.
How about like CVS and Walgreens? Do you have a preference between CVS and Walgreens?
You know, I do like Walgreens. But it's just that there's not as many, and they're just not conveniently located. So CVS I'll run into just because there's more of them where we live. But if there were an equal amount, I'd probably go to Walgreens.
McDonald's versus Burger King.
McDonald's. But again, I mean, both are kind of like really taking a beating. They're on the down, whatever, the downbeat there.
Diet Pepsi versus Diet Coke.
Diet Coke. Not even a question.
Yeah, you do miss your Diet Coke. I'm trying to think of other big names where there's such a contrast between the styles of two big stores. Oh, well, I'm trying to think, who would be the equivalent of Best Buy or Worst Buy? Any store out there that?
Not PC Richards, maybe.
Yeah, when you think of Walmart, you think of Target as well. When you think of Best Buy, I don't know really what else. I personally, I don't know if things have changed. I can't stand Best Buy.
Yeah.
I used to get hives going into that store. I always felt like the only thing I was being sold was some warranty.
I know. Well, it's every place does that, though.
Yeah, but it was so aggressive. The customer service was terrible. And their stock got hammered because the feelings that I felt towards the customer service, I think a lot of people felt. And that's why I always call them worst buy.
Yeah.
So clever thing.
I can't. No, I know. It was just like that in Grisolfi. Yeah, that's another one of our favorites.
But is there any other stores? I can't think of anything else.
I don't know, like department stores, like Nordstrom's, and I mean Nordstrom's and Neiman Marcus are high end, and then it's like
Needles Markups.
Yeah, I mean that's like so expensive. Nordstrom I like though. I love Nordstrom.
You
because,
do love it.
Well, because it's expensive, but then you can actually get stuff on sale that's like a good deal. And their service at Nordstrom's is amazing. You know, there's always somebody there to help you and friendly service. And sometimes you're more inclined to buy something more expensive just because they're super nice. I mean, I don't wind up in the really, really dangerous locations where it's crazy expensive. But I always get to the sale area. And Neiman Marcus, on the other hand, it's all, even if you get a sale, it's still like $700. It's like stupid. Like, you know. You have to have no care about money to go into that store.
And by the way, we care.
And we care. We care. And I actually made a comment to Darren. We got our American Express bill. Once again, brought down the numbers a bit.
Woo-hoo!
This month.
High five.
Top.
High five.
Maybe this cold weather's helping. I haven't been out there buying a lot of stuff. So, you know, austerity measures is working.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been – all these little measures that we've been – taking, right? I mean, we're using the credit card a little bit less. We're not purchasing as much when we do go and put things on the credit card. I've said this before that I think this is definitely a contributor, the fact that gas prices are so much lower. I mean, when you go and fill up at the pump, plus the fact that we've actually had cars given to us a couple of weeks where we didn't have to taste the gas. I mean, you add up a little bit each week, things that you don't even think about. It adds up. It adds up pretty quickly.
Put it out there to the PR firms who actually are the travel PR firms. Give us a vacation. One, we are getting...
Feldman's need a vacay.
We need a vacay in a bad way. But we are going to get a free night in the city at the Carlsland Hotel. Try it out. So I have to give them I have to email them back. But
I think the kids heard when you were saying that. And they're like, oh, where are we going? I'm like, not we.
No,
mommy and me.
You guys are staying home. So we're actually going to, for the very first time, give our daughter the chance to show us that she is responsible. Let's cross our fingers about that. And
is that official that we're going to actually do that? We're going to let them?
We could. I mean, unless we let them both sleep out and then keep everybody. But we'll have dog here, so I'd rather have somebody in the house instead of, we don't want to leave the dog at night.
She was, as soon as we mentioned that to her about the possibility of us being out for a night and it would just be them staying in the house, she looked at us like, really? And I'm like, well, we're still talking about it. And she goes, oh, well, don't worry, I won't have any parties. And I said, I know you won't have any parties, I'm sure of that. And then she looked at me and was like, well, how are you so sure? I said, because they've already spoken to all the neighbors that when we do go out, if they see anything suspicious in terms of any kids coming in and out, call me right away. She's like, did you really do that? I'm like, yep, it's already been taken care of. So she doesn't know who I've spoken to, which neighbors, the extent of my conversation and stuff, but I think our daughter is a little on guard, saying, I'm not really sure if my dad did that or not. But whether I did or not is irrelevant. The fact is that she believes that I did. So I don't think she would. I don't think she would have a party anyway. I think we told her enough times about what the consequences.
And enough times that I've had parties and it didn't go well. So ouch!
Yeah,
this dog is just breaking my arm.
Yeah, we gotta try to stay away from your story of childhood and teaching and telling our daughter things that you did, because she's always gonna come back and think, oh well, I want to be able to have a story to tell my kids when I grow up too. We don't want her having those.
I'm not saying to do as I do. I say learn from what I did and don't do it. That's my teaching moment.
The problem is you tell her enough things about what you did into the teaching moment that she starts to think that it's the norm.
Yeah.
Right.
It was not the. Well, no, in our during that time it was the norm. I mean, we did do those things, and we were not thinking. It was stupid.
Yeah.
You know, when I went out with my girlfriends again, it kind of, we had, like, memories of all those times. Because it was funny, because, like, part of the group when we went out, kept on partying. Like, they kept going and going, and I was like, I'm done. You know, by 4 in the morning, they were still, like, at a dance.
I can't believe
like,
it. I cannot believe that you were out. You were up and awake till 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
That is insane. I mean, that is insane, right? I don't know why I didn't even press on that topic last week when you were actually had the girls' weekend. I can't remember the last time that you were up 4 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't tech-related.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when Beth and I go out, I mean, 11 o'clock seems to be that magic number.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Well, and I started fading after, like, after we finished our meeting with our friends at the W, I was ready to call it a night, and they were like, where can we go dancing? And the and the poor man says, oh, go to the Angry Fiddler. And it's this.
And Beth's like, I'm becoming an angry
fiddler. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, the Angry Fiddler. And we go to this bar / DJ place / bad karaoke where there were
bad karaoke.
I mean, that was just bad. And where there were these kids there that were dancing, and I mean, kids as in like everything from like maybe 20 to like 28. And when we were on the dance floor, I swear I felt like I was being like we were getting like looks like, oh my God, look at those moms dancing. Like, I just felt the eyes on me, and then they were, I don't know, maybe I was just taking it too personally, but after a certain point, I'm like, I'm out. Like, Feldman out.
Feldman out?
Feldman out. I'm not going to have anyone look at me and say, oh, look at those moms. It's not funny. I'm not funny.
I am not funny. I am a cool mom.
I am a cool mom, and no one will laugh at me. So I'm not going to be like Amy Poehler from Mean Girls trying to like mosey on in with her friends and whatever. But
did
I did
Sarah,
tell...
Did you say that our daughter's friends thought you were cool or not cool?
Cool.
Oh, really? You did? You got the cool. You got the thumbs
they
up?
They are incredibly impressed that I went to UMass, FYI, and that I went to college when I was only 16 years old. They were kind of like, wow, your mom started college when she was 16? Like, how'd she do that? Like, that's so cool. So, yeah, she told me that. I was like, yeah, cool.
We like our daughter's friends.
Yeah, no, they're very nice.
She's got a very good friend. We're very... Overall, I mean, I know we have certain issues that come up from time to time, but I would say overall, she has chosen her friends very well. And I think even more so now, she really I have actually seen a change in her over the last few months. And this has been a pretty important year for her.
Yeah.
In terms of identifying what makes a true friend. I really do. Since the summertime, when she had a very bad experience with somebody at camp, she had a very bad experience, which we're not going to go into, but this was something that we spent a lot of time with our daughter on in terms of, you know, difference between being friendly, and I've mentioned this before on another podcast about being friendly versus friends with someone and what it truly means to have somebody as a friend. And it's a tough concept to grasp, I think, when you're our daughter's age, but I think she's finally starting to get it that don't hang out with somebody just for the sake of hanging out, that you're better off spending that time by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Than you are being around somebody that really brings you down and is toxic. And I'm not saying she's totally on that side yet and that she's, you know, out of the woods in terms of hanging out with people that she shouldn't be hanging out with, but she's certainly... filtered it quite a bit over the last few months, I think, in terms of who she chooses to hang out with, people that, like we like to say, bring her up, not drag her down, build her self-esteem, not try to knock down. I mean, all the things that we want for a teenage girl, right?
Yeah, now she's going on a weekend away or a overnight with her model congress with 16 kids, and we'll see how that turns out.
Oh, my God. We found out she's going... staying at somebody's house in Long Island, and all 15 kids are staying in this one person's house as the guest, as the host house or something like that. And all I can say is to the parents that are taking in all these kids, you know, one is thank you, and two is I don't know what you're thinking.
Because there's
no way that we would ever be a host house to 15 kids.
No.
Right. I don't care if they're the smartest nerdiest kids that won't do a thing. I don't care. You're not having 15 kids sleeping over our house.
Yeah, no, I'm not into that.
Our son just came in. I'm going to get some breakfast. You keep talking.
Yeah, so the other thing that's been coming into my email box for our daughter, and she hasn't really responded to any of them, are all these colleges that want to meet her. And
got one yesterday. Another one today. St. Rose.
Oh, College of St. Rose. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah. We got Kutzman. Have you ever heard of Kutzman? It said Kutzman University of Pennsylvania, but it's not University of Pennsylvania. It's something called Kutzman. She has gotten the new school. She got, which is really good. Something called Indiana College, Coastal Carolina University.
She's got a mix of stuff. Some of them are,
Hofstra, which I heard of. George Mason, which I've heard of.
And those are good schools, and I'd be happy if she, I don't know much about George Mason, but Hofstra is fantastic. These other schools, I have no idea. They could be very good.
I don't know, but I clicked on Coastal Carolina University, and I thought it was quite,
What I did tell our daughter is that, again, for all of this, you have to go into this with an open mind.
Yeah.
And that whether or not you've heard of the school or not, you got to at least look into it and see what they're about. And you never know. You might find a jewel in the rough, right? I mean,
totally. Well, the funniest thing, and I am loving, I always liked the show The Middle, but now this year, I love The Middle. I just think it is so on target.
We're in the middle of another TV story.
Well, no, but I just think it is so funny because it's, I mean, I never understood, like I thought, like I didn't know what The Middle meant, but I realized what The Middle is the middle class. And it's this family that's constantly struggling to make ends meet and provide for their family. But the way things happen, it's just so funny. So this character who's, her name is Sue. She's the middle child, and she's kind of wacky. And she's now a senior or junior or whatever. She's applying to colleges. She's putting in her applications. And she's on the train, and her essay says, she's writing in her essay something about, I want to reach for the stars. And she has a spelling error, and she writes, I want to shoot at cars. And she goes, oh, that's a mistake. Let me go fix it. And she's on a train, and the train lurches forward. And instead of fixing the spelling error, she hits send.
So,
and it's the Common App. So it goes to, like, all the colleges that she applies to. So she's like, oh, my God, I'm never going to get into college. They think I want to shoot at cars. Like, I love that. And then, like, the episode before, she winds up actually doing really well on her SAT. And she starts saying to her parents, oh, maybe I'm going to apply to Oberlin and Smith and, like, all these, like, colleges that are super expensive. And her parents are freaking out that now she got a good grade, that they're going to want, you know, that she wants to go to a better school, and they can't afford it. So the mom, Frankie, gets a job at home as a travel agent. So she's wearing, like, you know, she's in the bathroom, and she's doing a trip for someone. And she's like, oh, it's going so smoothly. It's great. It's whatever. And then, of course, all the kids come in, and they're all making noise, and there's problems, and she winds up, like, cursing at someone and loses the job, and she finally admits, she's like, look, I'm working 24 hours a day so I could send you to a good school, and the daughter's like, no, I was just saying it. I know you can't afford it. I'll stay in state, because I'm like, God, can't our daughter say that?
Good life lesson.
It is a good life lesson, because I was like, oh, my God, that's me, except I'm not in the, you know, I'm not in the bathroom. Call, whatever, but it was still like, I'm working 24 hours a day so I could send you to college.
So I think I mentioned to you yesterday that I'm going to be getting a phone call later on this morning from a guy, a friend of mine I went to high school with. We actually played baseball together back at Jamaica High School in Queens, and his name at the time when I knew him was Will Cobb, C-O-B-B. His name now, and no, this is not a gender transformation or anything like that, but his name now is Jelani Cobb, J-E-L-A-N-I. And we've been connected on Facebook, but I haven't really spoken much. But he reached out to me yesterday and is going to call me later on this morning. I guess he's doing a story
Where are they now?
I don't know what it's about, but something related to Jamaica High School. And I don't know if anybody knows, but Jelani Cobb is a pretty big name and pretty big writer for The New Yorker.
And,
So I'm going to get a chance to talk to him, catch up, and who knows, be interviewed for one of his stories that he's doing. So I'm kind of excited, especially since we're going to be talking about my old stomping ground, Jamaica High School, which unfortunately I think met its demise this past year. This year or the
year
before.
After my high school met its demise.
It unfortunately shut down. I don't know what they're going to be doing with school, turning it into charter schools or whatever. But Jamaica High School in Queens, I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with it. It's a huge school on top of a slope. And if you looked at it, it's gorgeous. I mean, from the outside, and there's a pond in the back. There's called Goose Pond Park, which is probably one of the most dangerous places to hang out in, but that's besides the point. And I don't know what the story is going to be about, but Jamaica High School, it's amazing when I, through time, how many people have actually gone to Jamaica High School, how many people I've come across through my life now. I went to Jamaica. I mean, it was a huge school at the time. It's right off the Grand Central Parkway next to another school called Thomas Edison. And Thomas Edison and Jamaica didn't get along too well back in the day. A lot of bad stuff used to happen at the school. That's the thing I remember. Like, wanted to get, when you went to school in the morning, you went, got in the door as quickly as you could. And coming home, get out the door and get home as quickly as you possibly can, because you did not want to hang around there after hours. It was not a good hangout place. It was just only bad things could happen if you waited around too long. That was my memories and experience of high school.
You know, it's funny because our high school could get a little dangerous, but we also, like, what I remember is going to the Arch Diner and ordering, like, a Raisin Bran muffin and hanging out with my girlfriends, or going to
Italian pita.
We got the Patigan Athletic Club. Let's get our places straight.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That was when I went for tennis lessons. But I did. And you would think that I grew up in some, like, fancy town in, in out on Long Island. But it was not fancy. Our high school was literally across the street from the sewer department. I would have to walk home passing the sewer department. And that was my wonderful route. And
that
then,
doesn't surprise me.
And then the other side of the road was this complete, like, wasteland where a lot of people would, like, steal cars and then drop them in the fields or in the water or whatever. It was just not a... I thought it was an ideal childhood growing up, but it...
Well, you know what? And that, in many ways, that's what makes us what we are today. Because at the time, we felt how you grew up and how I grew up was the norm. It was, you know, we had parents that loved us.
Worked hard.
It was a mix of work and play. Vacations were truly something that you could look forward to, not something was expected or given. You had things that you would save up for. Like, they were just a way of life where neither you or I expected to have things coming to us. It was things that both our families worked hard for, knew the value of a dollar, had common sense about what you should do in terms of street smarts and things like that. And that's, you're right. You know, you didn't think anything of it when you were growing up. Me, for the most part, I didn't think anything growing up. But that way of life back then affects how we interact with our kids now.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that's something that I don't like it when I like when my kids are working for something. I always had a job from the time I was a teenager, and I think it's really important to teach the value of hard work and that you don't just get something just because you ask. You know, it's just that to me is like there's so much of that going on that, or it's not even ask, it's demand. Like, there's so many kids that are like, I want this and I want that, and it's like crazy.
Yeah, and then like smack. That's what you're going to get. You keep asking, it's like smack.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, we grew up in a different place and time, and now we're keeping it real here in New York.
Right. I think we're trying to bring the values that we had instilled in us in the boroughs. Right.
And bringing it to the burbs.
And bringing it to the burbs.
And this is not, the thing is that New Rochelle is not you know, one of those sheltered part of the burg.
No, it's not. That's one of the reasons why I think why we identify with it so well.
Right.
Because it is not.
It's like a borough burb. It's a burb.
It's a B&B.
A borough and a burb all in one.
Yeah, that is the great thing about New Rochelle. Got a lot of flaws in terms of things I wish were different about it, in terms of how it operates and decisions and political stuff, but in terms of an overall community and what it overall, you know, values and what it represents, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's one of the best places, if not the best place, in Westchester to raise a family.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm biased about it, but I really do believe it, because I think it's real. It's what the world is. And that's what I love about it. I mean, take a look at our son. You take a look at his list of friends.
Oh, they're all over.
He's got so many different friends from so many different backgrounds, religions, race. I mean, even at this point here, which I was surprised about, they're in terms of sexual orientation. I guess there are kids now, which I think is great. I'm surprised, but it's great, that are identifying themselves as gay, even in seventh grade, which, again, I was surprised that somebody at that age could actually recognize the fact that they are. But hey, great if they are and they know for sure. So, our son's got friends from all different parts of life, which is amazing. So that's that's why I love living in this town, because of the things that it embraces. So
I agree. And on that note, you got to get our son to school, and I have to get ready for another day.
I got an interview later on this morning. I got to get ready for it.
All right, you better prepare. All right. Well, on that note, thanks for stopping by.
Stay classy.